Lift your hands toward heaven. The hour has come. We know the vibrations of God are captured into moments in the spirit, and it takes discerning men to articulate when they walk up as hell. It's a momentary matter. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the water. It's at a certain time. If you don't discern that moment, you'll be lost. Every other activity will be a waste. And at this time, we are waiting because the water is about to be troubled. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord from your heart. I don't want to cast my dimension on you. I want you to ascend from that envelope of your spirit and touch the clouds of glory for yourself. Because I will not be there in your bedroom. I will not be there on your campus. You must master the technology of the spirit by which you unleash your spirit man to sense the atmosphere of heaven. That's when you have been fashioned. Talk to God from your heart.
So we chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. Bahasimre daharabia sibranano saparadi kapai levenai. Rahibai, Berahadili Kasavene Trahava Kazu, Rahadiada Pradidi Zanzaprada Kaburunda Silahadi Yabanana, Rahabia Tapadi Kasodu, Rahadavila Bandakala, Rahadiado Vrandahadila Pakataburi, Rahadada Sibrahadundre Sabragadila, Rababundre Sekapatra Tati Tata, Rahadi Taparana Tatalaya, Rigabandara Taku Pakatira Tatahari, Ragabandra Paku Par Didi Sapon Yabarali. Ah! We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah! Ah! We chant in the Holy Ghost.
Speech is no longer sufficient to capture the emphasis of God's spirit. It's the same reason for which we pray in the Holy Ghost. There are many things you can say with your understanding, but in order to journey into the borders of mysteries, you have to begin to speak another language that is beyond the language of mortals. Because if you are trapped within the crucible of mortality, you can't journey to the border where mysteries dwell. Because when Elohim showed up, he told Job, he said, have you gone to where life dwells? There are places in the spirit and there are borderlines that separate those places. One of the vehicles of transport that bring us to the atmosphere where mystery dwells are things that are beyond articulate speech. That is why we chant. That is why we speak in tongues. So that by all means we will be carried. We will be carried. And then I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive it. How be it? When the Holy Ghost is come, he will guide you. There are places in Zion. There are certain places that you cannot go with your mind. So you have to leave your mind behind and you latch onto another economy that comes from a civilization beyond time. It is a mystery that dwells only among angels. So when you begin to chant, what happens is that you have entered another assembly, you left the building, you are not just aware. It's an error for somebody to be chanting and sleeping his head. What he's doing, he doesn't know it. Because every time you chant, every time you pray in the spirit, you have left where mortals dwell. You have entered the assembly of the angelic realm. See, it's a consciousness thing. If you don't know it, you will be doing it in the flesh. We chant in the Holy Ghost. It's an announcement that I want to fly. I have stayed with men for too long. I want to enter the other side of the divine and interact, interface with the priest of Zion. We have many dimensions, brothers and sisters. We have many elements that are not seen. We have many compartments in our spirit man that if we don't give expression to, we can't tame this world. Meanwhile, the apostolic dimension is a governmental dimension. And the things I need to say them so that they will be deposited in your spirit and in your territory as a witness, as a testimony that a dimension of God came to your land. So I need to alter them. You were not created to dwell among mortals. You were created to participate in an economy that predates time. You were created to live among immortal spirits. Because you are actually part of an ecclesia. You are part of a government that transcends time. You are only a witness in this realm. You are actually supposed to participate in the economy, the life and the civilization that is from that realm, and then bring the testimonies, the conclusions and the verdicts of that which transpired in that company into this dimension. So by reason of your interfacing in this realm, you will command this realm to conform with the celestial realm where you are an ambassador. From whence you are an ambassador. You were not created to be educated by this civilization. You were not created to be ruled by the elements of this civilization. You are a creature from afar. You came from a distant country. And you came to enact the mandate of your nation, your nativity in this dimension. If you are not aware of these things, you will be lost here. And you will call it enjoyment. We chant in the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. If an angel appears to you and you look upon him, the first thing you will know is that this one does not belong to us. He came from another dimension. If a creature of eternity appears before you, before he speaks, the witness, the dimension, the energy that he comes with will reveal to you that this being is not from this region. And you will know that he came for an assignment. Because the way they come with the atmosphere of their reality. they are always aware that they are high commissioners. They are aware that they are an envoy from another realm. And the same way, every time you show up in the cosmos, you are supposed to be a witness. You are supposed to show up as a testimony that another realm exists. And there is another monarch that is beyond the elements of this civilization. So much so that even one who calls himself a man of God, you know what it means to be called a man of God. When you are of something, it means you are one with that thing. You can't be separated. You are like an extension of that thing. So a man of God is actually a God among men. That's why he told Moses in Exodus 7 verse 1, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. So when you show up, you are actually an expositor of God. But a man of God now shows up and he has no difference with anybody, because the atmosphere, the fragrances of eternity are no longer his perfume. Other aroma flow out of him. So even when he talks about God shouting, the people cannot sense the vibrations of Elohim. When we come for an apostolic conference, we are actually coming back to bring us the witness, the urgency, and the testimony of the kingdom. And the first thing the kingdom does to us is that it reminds us that we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We were sent here as messengers of Zion. You know why you struggle with prayer? It's because you have journeyed from your nativity for too long. Prayer is not an activity. Prayer is the civilization of spirits. That's how spirits commune. When spirits commune, the word is called prayer. Spirits don't talk to themselves, they commune. Because when we talk to ourselves, we are exchanging ideas. But when we pray, we are rubbing off. It's intercourse. So when a spirit is talking to you, the spirit, the dimension of that spirit is entering you. So it's actually an intercourse. So prayer is actually the civilization of Zion. But the reason we struggle with prayer is because we are journeying too far from Zion. So those elemental dimensions are no longer part of us. Meanwhile, we are supposed to pray the way we breathe. That's why I say, make us always to pray and not to faint. When a man begins to faint, it means there is something wrong. He has lost those things, those testimonies that makes him an agent of Zion. Worship is supposed to be our lifestyle. Because worship is not a song. Worship is actually the flow of God unto God. It is the pouring out of the essence of God that is locked on your inside. So every time a man worships, what he's doing is that's why only we can worship. A man who does not have the substance of God cannot worship. Because worship is actually the release of the substance of God that is on your inside as an adoration to the one before whom we have to do. But we can't even worship. The reason is because we are departed from Zion. I want to talk to us briefly about the subject. You know, it's called Roar. I want to talk about Roar. And I will do all of that in 1 hour. Roar. What is Roar? It's a weapon of songs. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. They put in down a stronghold. Our weapons are shrouded in mysteries. And that article of the kingdom is one of the weapons that sons carry in their quiver. You know, when you see a son, he doesn't carry bows and arrows. He doesn't carry a gun. He carries a lot of mystery in his quiver. The mystery and the intelligence of roaring is one of the weapons of sons. So I want to talk about roar, but we will journey there. Oh, he mini. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. You say God is a river that never runs dry. That's who he is. There's always abundance. It's always abundant. What is the apostolic about? When we talk about the apostolic order, what are we talking about? The apostolic is not necessarily a title. The apostolic is actually God's strategy of transferring the essence of a kingdom from one context to another. So the apostle is the embodiment of the kingdom. The idea of the apostolic is to superimpose a kingdom in another context. That is how kingdoms evolve. The intelligence and the strategy of the evolution of kingdom is what the apostolic is about. So Nigeria is a colony of Great Britain. That's the apostolic operation. That's why I'm wearing a suit. I'm not wearing a suit because I love wearing suit. I was colonized into wearing a suit. My ancestors, they wore what they call Bente. But because the impact and the import of apostolic intelligence took place, suit now becomes what defines my essence. So if I'm not wearing a suit, sometimes you don't feel good. The reason you drive your car by the right side of the road and your steering is by the left is an apostolic intelligence. So when the queen wakes up in her palace in England, she takes tea in the morning, you also take tea. So the thought, the heartbeat, the desire, the lifestyle of the queen becomes your lifestyle. That's apostolic operation. The people that brings that operation are the apostles. They form the ecclesia. So when we talk about the apostolic, we are talking about a generation that can download heaven to earth. But you can't download heaven to earth when you are a stranger of heaven. You don't know a dimension. How do you bring it to another context? If you interact with an apostle, you become a revelation of his body. So he has the powers to re-engineer you to become what you don't want. If you hear him, you'll be afflicted. After a while, you will discover you have no choice. You become what you say. That's the authority of the apostolic. Pastor was telling me, we visited UNM and left. And a young lady who didn't even bother about all these people who are talking fire. So the people who came for the meeting were singing one of the chants that I chanted. And then she left. After 3 days, she discovered that the chant had become a virus in her soul. The chant kept chanting inside. Nobody was chanting. The chant now began to chant itself. So the chant was chanting itself inside her soul. Until she was restless, she now came back and said, "What is that song?" The brother now said, "Okay, take," and gave her a few messages. 2 weeks later, she became another person. That's why when Paul and Barnabas came, they said, "These men that turned the world upside down have come to us. If they come, they afflict you with the body. They are a representation of the kingdom. So when you look at them, they are the heartbeat of the king." That's why God shoots apostles to territories. The idea is not to create a church system. The idea is not to create a system. The idea is to bring a revolution. The impact of that revolution will affect the economy. It will affect the educational sector. It will affect everything and everywhere that men are. Because those men will become the embodiment of that kingdom. That is why the revival will not end with utterance. It will end with people that are reflections of the Christ. It's a governmental issue. Is a kingdom dimension. The ability to express God in the most graphic sense. Philip came to Jesus and said, "Show us the Father that we may see him. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I am not a preacher. I am a witness. I am a testimony that the Spirit exists in the invisible realm. And in case you don't understand, look around me. The things you see, they are not earthly. men don't talk to blind eyes and they open. Empty men don't talk to the deaf. I talk to the deaf because my voice are echoes of eternity. A man speaks to a deaf person, he doesn't hear. But when I speak, I'm talking by the voice of him that thunders with lightning. My voice is like the sound of many waters. It does not have regard for your auditory nerves. When I talk, it transcends biological law. I am invoking another dimension. And the realm that I'm talking from is superior to the natural realm. It's a display of kingdom and the powers of the ages to come. I am not talking. I am bringing dimensions through my voice. That's why the deaf hear me. I am a hybrid. I'm a God man. So when I talk, the elements of God come into your dimension. And just in case you are not aware, even the deaf will hear my voice. And they that hear me will live. So where I come from, death does not exist. That's why I'm not moved by the dead. It's a kingdom business. I'm coming from life. I'm coming from an immortal dimension. My voice is a way of transporting immortality into time. If I shake you, I am transferring immortality into you. And some people began to understand. So the centurion came and said, I have soldiers under me. When I speak, they obey. The way you are talking, I know that I can't see, but there are some invisible beings that respond to your voice. Because the people began to study him carefully. They discovered that this man is one man, but he comes with many. He comes with an unseen dimension. It's not possible. A phone came, even the Sanhedrin, after they discussed him for a long time, they came and met him at night through wine. Said, what you do, no man can do them except another element is with him. A God must be working with him. We know you are carrying an invisible dimension. We can't see it, but we know, because the things happening around you is a testimony that you are beyond time, you are beyond space, you are beyond matter. What are you? It's not a title, it's a witness of a dimension unseen. Is a revelation of a possibility that is beyond the scales of mortals. It's an unveiling of possibilities that cannot be thought or imagined, because you are a custodian of the realm. So in Luke chapter 11 verse 20, he said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God has come among you. What I'm doing is not an act, it's not a show. What I'm doing is a testimony that another realm is upon you. It's just like superimposing the law of aerodynamics on the law of gravity. Gravity will still be there, but an iron can fly. It's a testimony that there's another law superimposed on the existing one. So sometimes Jesus hears you. Even if the eardrum was not there, you begin to hear. If you say see, you begin to see. Another realm has been superimposed on your dimension. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God has come among you. It's an invitation to participate in a realm beyond time. It is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Our eyes have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That is what we have come to commit to you. We have not come to bring you a message. It's not about a message. You can listen to a message, call it, and recite it. You don't know the kingdom. I didn't come with a message. I came with a government. I came with a dimension. And the call is participation. He said, this is the message that we have received from him, that God is light. And he said, whoever walks in that light cannot walk in darkness at the same time. So it's a summon into an economy. It's the bringing
of another realm to you. So you enter into that realm and participate. They said the light was with the Father. We have seen him and we are calling you into it. He said that you may have fellowship with us. Say truly, our fellowship is with the Father. So when these men gather, they are not moved by their number. Because they know it's actually not about the number. It's about the realm that they fuse with. If two or three can fuse with that realm, their impact will be stronger than 10 million people. So our burden is not to gather people. Our burden is to cause people to translate into that realm. Because we can be 1 million, only three will touch that realm. The stature of the fellowship is not in the number. It is how many who are transported. And if you have this understanding, when you come to the fellowship, your burden will be to see him that is invincible. Because you have wasted your time if you have not translated. I was talking to my friend in the room. He said, who shall stand? Who shall stand to the heel of the Lord? Who shall ascend to his holy mountain? There are many mountains. It's about many ascensions. It's about translation. It's about transfiguration. To heighten up, to climb the mountains of Zion. Because what you command is in the natural. It's not a function of how much you know. It's a function of the height that you have attained. It's a participation in a realm beyond time. This is why we are many, but our number counts for nothing. Our demographic has no power. I was sharing with them in Mumuahia yesterday. I said they bring 100 mad people to this state. The state will turn upside down. But it's a shame that above 10 million Christians and nothing is happening. It means our number doesn't count. If you bring 20 Boko Haram people to this state, this your village here, all of you will run. 20, all of you. The rumor that 20 Boko Haram is here alone, you will pass the next day. And if you argue it, in 1 week you will see the impact of their arrival. Because they are agents of a government. They are agents of a kingdom in darkness. But you have 500,000 Christians and our brag is our physical number that counts for nothing. And it's a pity that you are part of that number and you are comfortable. So when their prosperity comes, it brings a burden to you and you refuse to be part of a number that counts for nothing. Moses was there in Egypt 490 years before he realized that something was wrong. And he said when he was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You come somewhere, you say, I'm a Christian. Nothing is happening. It's a shame. Hide that name in your pocket and go away. He said, let the priest cry in between the altar and the porches. He needs to cry because the people are asking, where is their God? Where is their God? The apostolic is not a move of titles and utterance. The apostolic is the appearance of God through men. A raging kingdom that cannot be healed. How much kingdom can you bring to bear? He said, Philip went to Samaria. Not the people, Philip. Was an usher. The moment he came, kingdom began to rage. He said he preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. And he didn't do business only with men. He said the people saw demons crying out for people and the lame were walking. So Philip was altering the spiritual atmosphere and he was restructuring the civilization of Samaria. One man. They read the Bible in a hurry. You come to a village like this and you are here for 3 months and it doesn't have an impact. Do you know the blessing that a quiet place like this affords you?
You can just throw to under a tree and you are there till evening. No sound of vehicle. How can you be in a place like this and you are normal? Spirit should have been distracting you by now. Because you have communed with them so much that they miss you so much, so that even when you are with people, they are coming to get your attention. You know, I was telling them, you are not deep because you talk deep. You are deep because you journey deep. When I look around, the only deep men I see now are madmen. They are not preachers. They are so deep that the kingdom they carry accosts you the moment they come close to you. They are so deep that they can be distracted by nothing in this realm. The madman can look at the sun like this for 5 hours. Even the sun is not strong enough to distract him. He is so deep into the spirit that he communes with that he has forgotten to dress well. The man can be on a dustbin and is excited beyond measure. His joy no longer comes from his environment in the natural. His joy comes from the depth of communion that he has with the spirit that has possessed him. They say, Hamadan, you are still struggling to wake up. By 3 a.m., the guy is running around the whole city, naked. He was not even conscious enough to know that it was cold. That's a deep man. How deep are you? Deep is when you carry microphone. We are talking about potters and dimensions and angelic. And your deepness doesn't, by any means, bring any testimony from the unseen realm where you claim you dwell. The apostolic is a restoration of the kingdom order. He said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God has come among you. The business of kingdom is the business of sons. This is not something you jump into by zeal. No. It doesn't work by zeal. I tried it many times. And I know those who tried it. It's not a zealous thing. It's a business of sons. When you become a son, it lends itself to you naturally. It is the inheritance of the son to exercise dominion. A son doesn't try to dominate, it is inheritance to exercise dominion. So don't worry, let the words enter your spirit. You go and sleep, after 1 week, you will hear one echo like thunder. Then you understand the technology of transformation. It's not in the loudness of the speech, it's in the supply of the spirit. The business of sons. In Luke chapter 3 verse 38, he began to show us how Adam had dominion. And when he reversed from Jesus back to Adam, he said, and Adam was the son of God. So the reason Adam exercised dominion effortlessly was because what? Adam was the son of God. Dominion is the inheritance of sons. You need to study Genesis again, slowly, to understand who Adam was. You know, you read it like a story. So you didn't sit down to contemplate what the guy was doing. Adam was not just in the garden. Because the garden was not the garden. The garden was a portal. The garden was a gate into every visible dimension. From that garden, Adam could command the stars. He was the prince and the ruler of the galaxies. Because part of what the garden should regulate in Genesis 1:16 was that the sun and the moon should regulate the season. So the man who was streaming from the garden
regulated the sun, the moon. Everything that has happened from Genesis to Jesus were dimensions that Adam mirrored. Adam controlled physics from that garden. Adam controlled the planet from that garden. Adam ruled the water from that garden. How did he name the animals? And he named every animal, every creature, not some. See, today science are still discovering some. The way he named the animals was the way Noah called the animals into the boat. The animals came to report themselves to him. He was a god over the animals. Because Adam was like a covering cherub in Eden. His life was what preserved the animals. And only Adam could put the whole earth under control. Now we have 1 million apostles. We can't regulate and control. Do you see the stature of Adam? 100,000 apostles. Yes, we can't bring one state under control. We can't bring one president under control. But only one Adam could rule the universe. How did he keep the statistics of creation? How was he able to manage the elements of creation? He was beyond mortal. And the reason was because Adam traveled to the deep places of God. Said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. Adam didn't hear the voice. Adam communed with the voice. Because even when he ran away, he was still hearing the voice. So the technology that existed between Adam and the voice was beyond hearing. It was intercourse. That's why I say the spirit is talking to you. The spirit is entering you. You are entering the spirit. It is a strategy of communion. An apostle and his family is littered with darkness. He can't even bring the family under control. One family. The Son of God was ruling the whole universe. He held the whole universe like this. Everything God wanted to see, he saw it. The same way God saw and it was good. When Adam continued from God, what he saw that it was good. Because when he named the animal, that was the name thereof. So if God were to name it, that was how God would have named them. That's kingdom. But it's the business of sons. If the kingdom cannot express themselves through you, the problem is that you are not yet a son. You may be a child of God, but the kingdom is not for children. Because the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. So even God himself will seclude the kingdom from him. The kingdom is not for children. That's why you try. It doesn't work. It will work when you become a son. If you become a son, it's natural. Because the earnest expectation of creation waited not for the manifestation of children, it's of sons. That broken bone knows when a son touches it. Because the bone understands the language of sons. That demon knows when a son speaks because he understands that it was fabricated into the universe that when sons speak, kingdom come. That was why a son was praying. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the language of sons. The blind eye knows when a son touches. The farmer knows when the son speaks. Somebody's life may not be walking until a son begins to talk. The life will walk. He said, and the building kept rising by the prophesying of Isaiah the son of Edo. Even buildings rise when sons talk.
We struggle with everything because we are not sons. We are not sons. You can learn a lot of principles. After a short while, you realize how vulnerable you are. Because every principle is a byproduct of a life of a spirit. It is a life of the spirit animated that you call principles. And if you don't have intercourse with that spirit, the energy to beg will not be there. I know you have come to church for a long time, but are you a son? Creation will not respond to you because you come to church. The demons will not respond to you because you come to church. The circumstance will not change because you are a Christian. It will change because you have become a son. Our journey is not to heaven. Our journey is to sonship. Because the idea is not for us to go to heaven. The idea is to bring heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The idea is to download heaven to earth. So our journey is not to heaven. Our journey is to sonship. Where everything that is available in the heavens, we can bring them to pass in the natural. I told you I want to talk about Roa. But Roa is a weapon of sons. So if I talk about Roa and you are not a son, you will roar until you lose your voice. And nothing will happen. Because spirits don't hear bono. They hear power. That's why the deaf hear when a son say open. He didn't hear the sound. It was the life that entered the ear. If you don't have this consciousness, even when you pray, you will not know what you are up to. Prayer for you will become an act. So you run around and you are excited and you sweat and you go back. But the set of circumstances around your life will remain constant. The reason is because you have not developed authority to change it. God will not change it. It's not God that moves mountains, it's men that move mountains. He stopped moving mountains a long time ago. He said, you speak to the mountain. If you don't have the power to move the mountain will be there until you die. So the journey into sonship is expedient. Are you a son? The conference is about to be over. You have seen many sons come to display their dimension. Are you a son? If I want to jack this thing up in another 2 minutes, I will jack it up. This place will turn upside down. And then you go back and say, oh boy. You see what that guy do? Instead of growing into sonship, we become spectators. And men of God will keep us as spectators so that they can display before us. Are you a son? As we finish and go, you will go back if you don't grow into sonship. And you will have another one and another one and another one, and it will become about conferences upon conferences, men of God upon men of God. But nothing will be different. You will not even as much as realize your ordination. Some of the men you listen to, you are bigger than them in the spirit. You know, I was teaching yesterday. I said, it's only in Christianity that we put children and say, children church. It doesn't happen like that in the demonic kobo. In the demonic kobo, your age is a function of the measure of life that you have. So a 10 years old can be the queen of the coast. She's not a child, she's a grandmaster. So they don't arrange people based on age. They arrange people based on what they carry. Because you begin that journey by intimacy. Here they don't teach you in textbooks, they teach you in the spirit. So for instance, their meeting begins by entering into the spirit. So when they say they are going for a meeting, all of them can enter a tree and they appear in another location. Meanwhile, if I appear in this hall, all of you would have run away. Because the spirit realm is so alien to us. It's a story. And we want to talk about it in a bogus way. And we are saying, oh God, oh God. But when we see it, we run. That means we didn't believe it. If you go to the demonic cobble, you'll be shocked that the queen of the coast will be a child in your own rating. But in the spirit, they discover that the capacity of that little child is greater than all of them. So what they will do is that they will teach her how to use those utensils. Some of you who are sitting here and thinking you are children, you actually have more stature than us who are preaching. The problem is that it was not designed in the kingdom order. So you have not traveled into the spirit to discover who you are. Some people, when they were born, a cherub was attached to them. A cherub. They may discover when they are 35, but that cherub came when they were born. But they never realized. Because they run by economy of time and human demographics. That's why we can't do kingdom business. We can talk about it, but we can't do it. Because it begins when you enter the economy of a son. There are certain things that if you tell babes, it will move them. If I come here now and I begin to tell you the burden of God for Nigeria, all of you will sleep. You know what? Where you are now, national things are not your burden. But if I come now and I say, somebody is about to get married, I see a vision in the spirit, somebody, oh, go, go, go. You are paid. If I come and say, God wants to prosper somebody, I see the oil for a millionaire. You are seeing yourself. But if I tell you, God is saying this about Nigeria, you will see it. Because where you travel to, you are all your journeys within yourself. And when you travel within yourself, the last thing you notice was that you needed a husband, you needed money, you needed food. When you journey out of yourself to the conclave where immortals dwell, you will discover that the things they talk about is not food and money. It's nations. It's kingdoms. It's dominion. It's how to best civilization that we rule generations. That's why we can't even talk kingdom. They invited me for a conference. They said I should talk with deep, call it us deep. I said deep. Deep. Who am I talking deep with? Where have they traveled to before? The only thing you can teach in the natural is salvation. Every other kingdom syllable is in the spirit. You can't teach it. It must be experienced. Only salvation can be taught, because salvation is meant for sinners. Every other spiritual syllable must be taught in the spirit. If you don't go there, you will never know it. You must experience it. That's why you teach power, people not walk in it. You must experience, you must come into communion and intercourse with those dimensions. You say, talk deep, go deep. People who have never traveled out of themselves, people who doesn't know what outside time look like, how do you talk deep with them? They say that journey to the deep, they see the wonders of God. If you have not traveled out of time before, how can you talk deep things? Things that were kept sacred before the foundation of the world. You didn't know when John traveled there. He wanted to speak. He wanted to write what the voice of the seven thunders told him. He said, don't write it. Even if you write it, they can't understand. Until you travel here, you can't know this one. Deep things are at different spiritual energy levels. There's a place where wisdom dwells. If you don't journey there to have intercourse with the spirit of wisdom, you can never wise. Because wisdom is not English language. Wisdom is the ability to look into the spirit and to isolate the counsel in the heart of the spirit. There's a place where power dwells. Power. For those who travel in prayer, when you pray, sometimes you touch the chronicles of wisdom. And if you come out, even when you are talking, you yourself will know you don't know these things. Because what you are talking, they came from your spirit. Your soul has not been educated in those things. So you will be hearing it for the first time while you are here talking. It was the intercourse your spirit had with wisdom that you are communicating. So it's when you are talking that you are knowing them. Because it was your spirit that had that intercourse. There's a time you will travel into the gate of power. If you come for a meeting, things will happen. You will know you have no faith for it. You just came from where power dwells. So power is lending itself. For the technology of kingdom. How I wish Christians would make up their mind to travel. They have many things to tell you, but you can't receive it. That's the honest truth. That's why we can't teach deep yet. If an awkward person wants to teach you something, you say, let's speak in the night. These ones are not, you can't communicate it with human language. Let's meet in the night. And when you meet there, it will be transferred into your spirit. Because those things are secret. They will be hid in your spirit. Kingdom. The business of souls. You have struggled far. What is sonship? What is sonship? Who knows what sonship is? Sonship is simply bearing the image of the divine. Sonship is not growth. It's to bear the image of God. That's what sonship is. Many people will be in this kingdom for a long time, but they will never be sons. That was why in Luke 3:38, it said Adam was the son of God. How was he made the son of God? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. A son is the one that bears the image of the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, taking time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day revealed himself by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That's why I told you that when you become a son, it's natural for you to reveal the kingdom. So when God talks power, when you talk, it will be power. Whether you woke up from sleep or not, it doesn't matter. You don't go to fast to manifest power. Power becomes your inheritance. The way God plays, not the way men play. When a man wants to play, he looks for something to distract himself. He calls it play. What man calls play is actually distraction. Distracting yourself is what play is in the realm of mortals. But in the realm of spirit, to play is not to distract yourself. To play is to focus. You bring yourself into your reality, and your reality begins to manifest. So a God is playing when he's displaying power. He said, all things were created for thy pleasure. So when God wanted to have pleasure, what he did was that he stood, he said, light be. And when light appeared from darkness, it's man. He said, let the sun appear. And he showed up. It's man. When God played in manifest. When we are casting out devils, healing the sick, we are actually playing. That's why Jesus said, don't glory in those things. They cast out devils, they came to him and said, the demons were subject to us. He said, in those things, don't be excited. He said, rather be excited that today your name has been written in the kingdom. You have come where immortal were. So that thing you are doing is not the testimony. That thing is the byproduct of the testimony. The testimony is that now you are not a man. Now when we count immortal spirits, we will count you. That's what the testimony is. So whether you like it, it happens naturally. I've heard stories of men that became so much of this thing that even the things they said jokingly happened. So the law of God over them now was in their mind. If they want to think, sometimes they warn them, don't think this thing. Because anything you think releases energy. If you think that this person will go mad, he will go mad. So your mind will be locked with rules and regulations. If you think that somebody gave me a car, the car will come. You have become creative. Because you have entered the realm of song. That's when we can advance kingdom. We think kingdom is activity. You gather 10 children or 50 children. You are decreeing that the government will go down. Nothing happens. They don't have the powers to legislate. They are children. That prayer you are praying, their mind is not there. Because that prayer is supposed to emanate from a body. They can't capture it. So you gather 1,000 children. You are decreeing that this thing must change. Nothing changed. The reason is because that thing should happen when they become sons. Because you are trying to do something that happens in the gathering of sons. Children can't bear it. Imagine now if you carry 2-year-old children and you carry placard, say the president must resign. They will say, carry them from the road before they have accident. But you will pay attention. They are children. You carry 1,000 children, you now stand up, we not go green, maybe we look at, they will start snapping them. What are these children doing? Imagine you have a house of assembly and you gather children. And then they are trying to approve budget. Budget. The whole budget will go for milk and pampers. You gather 1,000 children in church. They are saying, this will happen. That thing you are saying, you are the only person praying. If you check in the street, you discover nobody is with you. Their voices cannot be heard. Because kingdom is the business of sons. You know, children like the structure. So if I come now and I say, the power of the angel comes, they will be excited. When you say, calm down, let's talk deep things, they can't hear. Because it doesn't get their emotion, it doesn't tickle their emotion. They don't know these ones are precipitates of bodies. Bodies. I was telling my friend this evening, I say, sometimes I wish that a hunger will overtake me and keep me somewhere for 2 years where I don't talk to people. Only angels come there and commune with me. For 2 years, let me just be there. And then from there, we will be praying for nations. Praying for nations. When an angel comes to you, you will sense the urgency that he carries because of the way he wants to deliver the body in the heart of the Father. You will know that this one came from a distant land. He came because he has a body to change your civilization. There is something that is the heartbeat of the Father. That is the only thing that concerns that angel. So sometimes when you sleep, he will tap you. Wake up. When you check your time, it's 1 a.m. But he came from a realm that is not governed by time. That realm is governed by the will of the Father. And every time the will of the Father appears, everything stops until the will of the Father is manifested. So when that angel came, he's expecting that because you are a son, you have also journeyed away from time. So time no longer rules you. So the angel can come and discuss kingdom matters with you around 2 a.m. in the morning. He has no regard for time because you have entered his realm the way he's entering your realm. You have become a prince in the garden of God. Come to church and meet 3 hours prayer and then you go and lie down till the next day. When you are sleeping, many are awake. That's why you only hear your news on news headline. What you hear as news, many people heard it many months ago. In fact, the reason you heard it the way you heard it is because they fought in the spirit to reduce the intensity. So when it happened, they still go back to God. Lord, why did the whole thing stop? So God now tell them that the quorum was not complete. This thing you were trying to change, we needed 30 intercessors to change it, but there were only 5 of you. So it would have taken the whole city, but because of what you did, 30 people are affected. Meanwhile, you hear it on the news headline, you say, oh boy, this is our world, they're dangerous now. No. Hey, the things where they happen. So if they want to manipulate your life, they go to the news and they manipulate your life. But songs, they appear in Zion. They are not moved by what they see. They know where those things are created from. They participate there. This is deeper than preaching. This is life in the spirit. And it's the calling of every one of us. That's why I told you, our journey is not to heaven. Our journey is to sonship. So that we can leave heaven on earth. Jesus said, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I don't need to go there to participate. I can bring it here. Abraham grew to so much stature that they had a court session in heaven. He didn't attend that day. But God could not do it without him. So God came back to Mamre. You must be part of the legislative process. Why didn't you come for the meeting? He was troubled about his wife. He said, forget about your wife. In the next time of life, your wife Sarah will be with child. Now come, let's go further to where sons discuss. Because when he was talking about child, Sarah was behind the door hearing. She laughed. Because children need this distraction. She laughed. And when God handled the matter of babes, he drew Abraham to the side. And when they came to the edge of the city, he said, will I do a deal and not tell my servant Abraham? That means Abraham's stature in the spirit compared God to come and tell him. Because he's part of the galactic council that makes determinations concerning nations. And he said, the cup of iniquity of Sodom is full. The cry of iniquity has ascended to heaven. I have come down to destroy it. And Abraham entered the regalia of his son. He said, why believe you, the God of all flesh, that you judge the righteous and the good? The last time you brought me to heaven and educated me, you told me that part of the laws of Zion is that the righteous and the good cannot be destroyed together. What are you now doing? Are you no longer the just custodian of justice? What do you want to do now? And God came. Why you are impressing people with your lingo? They are men that talk, and even God keeps quiet to hear. God kept quiet. He said, what if you find 50 righteous men? Is Abraham a man? He's bigger than Solomon the Lord. One man can be bigger than a nation. If he enters into sonship. The reason our country is standing is not because we are many preachers. There were men that fought covenant with God, that made God invest his integrity, that this country will not divide. The day that covenant elapsed, if another son does not rise, the country will split. While we are yet preaching and prophesying, what if you find 40 righteous men? What if you find 30? He stopped at 10, because he thought that Lot can raise 10 men. But Lot, oh Lot, Lord, the prince of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was so lost in Sodom that even his daughters married the Sodomites. Meanwhile, Abraham was so much of a son that even when his sons want to marry, he said, they will not marry from among the daughters of this land. He said, go back to my father's house and look for a meeting for my child. And he got the other to swear that he will not keep a crazy woman for him. Because he knows the values of kingdom. That's where he lives. But Lot, he's not as married those for something. Nothing matters. So long as you can have bread and wine. So he always look for green pasture. At this meeting here, they will give me an honorarium. This one, they won't give me an honorarium. Meanwhile, the meeting where they will not give me an honorarium, God has arranged 12 apostles for ordination. But you can't decide the frequencies of Zion, because your appetite has been clouded your determination. It's a body
of Zion.
God doesn't look for children, He looks for sons. Because we do business with sons. Don't become a preacher before you become a son. You will have no witness for your generation. Preaching will distract you. Better wait until you become a son. Even if it's 3 messages you preach to your generation, it will last for many generations. Many. Many generations. Moses wrote 5 books. They became the foundations of revelation. Don't pursue the pulpit. Pursue the altar. The pulpit will manifest you, but the altar will give you relevant desire. We are not journeying to heaven. We are journeying into sonship. That's why in Romans chapter 8 verse 59, He said He preordained us to be conformed into the image of the Son. And the reason is because that Jesus will become the first among many brethren, so that they can become joint heirs with Him. So when Jesus wants to talk about America, there are those that have a stake in America. They may not be from America. That's why God will come to Sadusavaraj and give him a meeting for America. He's not an American. But it's only on earth that he's not an American. In heaven, it is called kingdom. And America is part of his inheritance. He said he saw a vision of an eagle crying. And he knew that was America. And the eagle was telling him, help us. A nation came to one man and is crying, saying, help us. Meanwhile, all of us are prophets. No. We have the title of prophets. Son and son. So kingdom lend themselves to sons. I'm saying this so when you pray, you know what to focus on. You will know. Because your generation is waiting for you. And they are not waiting for a good message. Every message has been preached. I tell you, listen to me. Every message has been preached. There's no new message in this one. It is only the freshness of the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit on the message that makes it relevant. So the breath of the Spirit opens new dimensions of that same message. There are many things God told me in the closet. I said it thinking they were rhema. Until I stumbled on somebody who preached sometimes 1950, and he's saying the same thing with the same words. Now discover there is really nothing new under the sun. I stopped killing myself for rhema. If I stand, anything God utters, that is his oracle. Derive the song. Sometimes you come to preach, you didn't preach to the people. So when you are talking, they will hear. God sent you to the land to talk to the spirit. Because what you are saying is a prophecy. You are prophesying that, like what I'm saying now, it may not even be a teaching for you. It may be a prophecy for this land that very soon sons will rise. So God is bringing the emphasis of sonship to this territory as a pillar and a memorial. And when the time comes in the spirit, this world will begin to enter the heart of those that God wants to raise as sons. So the spirit will be aware that this is what God wants to do. We are not journeying to heaven, brothers and sisters. We are journeying into sonship. So that we can receive the inheritance that is meant for us. Some of us sitting now, part of the inheritance we have is that when we see demons will go. But we can frustrate ourselves with a good voice in 10 years. Some of us singing, when we sing, we are supposed to activate gifts of the Spirit. So if you are seeing somebody who sees Jesus, and then the gift of discernment has just been activated, but you can frustrate yourself with stage performance.
10 years.
When you become a son, you know what is allocated to you. And when you come, you bring witness to that body of knowledge. That's why Billy Graham will preach salvation for 8 years. Bishop David Oedeko will preach faith for more than 40 years. Reverend Peter Akilome will preach eternal life for more than 30 years. And then you are wondering, what is happening? They know their own allocation. And when he's preaching that eternal life, money can appear in your pocket. Cripples will walk. He knows that allocation. The same thing that happens when Bishop Oedeko is preaching faith. Pastor Chris may not call faith, but he will have the same result. So, they have entered into the economy of life. How do we journey into the image? Because you can be born again. Listen to me. You can be born again and have eternal life, but you may not have the image of God. Are we sure? That's the difference between a child and a son. A child has the life of God. A son has the life, the image, and the likeness of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48, Paul says, the same way we have borne the image of the earthly, we must bear. He didn't say we have borne. He said we must also bear the image of the heavenly. How do you bear the image of the heavenly? We all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. So sonship is a migration, a journey, a metamorphosis. You are clothed with that image. That's why I say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking to believers. And somebody has not borne the image. He comes and is talking. The demons don't know you. They will tell you, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? They are not seeing the image. Because you have not beheld. So when we come to pray, what we are doing is not a spiritual cliche. We are trying to behold. That's why when you pray, your emphasis should not be your vocabulary. The first thing about prayer is consciousness that you are standing before His Spirit and you can't impress Him. An awareness that you have appeared before His Spirit. So the moment that consciousness comes, the second thing about prayer is yieldedness. Because you know that you can't impress that Spirit, you now yield to the Spirit. Prayer is actually God flowing out of you. And you flowing into God. As you yield to that Spirit, then the Spirit begins to talk from your bowels. And then the third thing about prayer is that you begin to travel with that Spirit. If you are conscious of your vocabulary, you will be a talker. You will have no power in the heavens. Because your words, you have no witness. You can't travel. But when we begin to travel in prayer, then we begin to behold the dimensions of God. And it's we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, he said, we are changed. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers until Christ before. Those are believers, but they have not the image. So the formation of that image is vetted in the place of prayer until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed. Because the same way we have borne the image of the earthly, we must also bear the image of the heavenly. If you have not borne the image of the heavenly, you can't do kingdom. So kingdom is for sons. And the idea of sonship is the idea of bearing the image of the divine. So when you show up, God shows up. When you talk, you are conducting Zion. This is why we labor in prayer. So when they said it's an apostolic and a prayer conference, it's actually the birthing of the kingdom through prayer. But we can enter there when by prayer we have conformed to the image of the Son. So when we talk, it becomes an expression of kingdom. When we touch, it becomes an expression of kingdom. Everything about us becomes a communication of the kingdom. Else, we will be many talkers with many big titles. Our witness is the testimony of the office that we occupy. The title is not what gives credence to our assertion. Our witness is the testimony of the office that we occupy. If you can't bring kingdom, you are not an apostle. And what you are doing is not apostolic. When you become a son, then you will discover that the weapons, you begin to wear them. They become a part of you. They are natural. Naturally a part of you. And one of the weapons of sons is war. Sons, war. Because they have entered one of the economies of the glory. You know, what you are beholding is the glory of God. That means, for you to be transformed, you have come into the economy of the glory. And one of the economies of the glory is the expression of the lion. The glory of God is actually the face of God. The hand of God is the power of God. The feet of God is the dominion of God. The Boaz of God is the spirit and the life of God. It flows from his Boaz. So when we talk about the face of God, we are not, God is a multidimensional reality. The face of God is not what you are seeing like this. It's the glory of God. And there are four things that capture the glory of God. We call it the four faces of God. The expression of the lion. The expression of the eagle. The expression of the man. And the expression of the ox. A son enters into an economy of glory called the dimension of the lion. That's why he roars. And when the lion begins to roar, it's a statement of dominion. The lion can sleep for 18 hours, but when he rises, he roars. The lion roars to give you an awareness that I own the territory. It is mine. I don't share it. I don't share. I don't know how to share. Oh. All the animals will begin to flee. So as you are beholding the image, what brings you into sonship is to behold the glory. And one of the dimensions of the glory you will see is the dimension of the lion. Ah. When you see the lion, it makes you a warrior. When you see the eagle, it makes you a keeper of secrets. When you see the ox, it makes you a servant. When you see the man, it makes you the expression of God. But the lion is for dominion. That's why those who see the dimension of the lion, they roar. They don't know how to talk. Even when they want to talk, have you listened to Bishop Oedeko? He can't help himself. He can't. The only way he knows how to communicate is to roar. Is to roar. It's the lion dimension. It can't happen. He's talking to the government of the nation. But the problem is that the one talking is a lion. So even if he wants to be careful, he doesn't know how to be careful. The thing rages like fire.
Go and tell him. It will not work. He's talking to the president. That's a lion. If you want to say your heart will skip, because maybe when you looked at the glory, you didn't see the lion dimension. But if by any chance you see the lion, naturally you will roar. Let me show you four things that roaring does. When you enter the elements of the lion, one of the things that happen to you is that you will roar. You will roar. Many times, it's not because you want. See, there are times when you are tired. But as you came, that was the dimension that loaded you. So even though your voice is lost, you cannot but roar. When you are doing it, you have left the meeting. You are addressing the territory. Because why the man addresses the people, the lion addresses the territory. Mana kakasava renanaya. The beings, they know, they know, they will run, they will go far. The first thing the roaring of the lion does is that it enters into Hades and it calls forth light out of darkness. You can never give life until you have entered the dimension of the lion. The roaring of the lion is to call light out of death. He said, Jesus cried with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. The roaring, it brings life. That's why in John 5:25, he said, even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. So when you come to a dead congregation, all you need to do is to enter the dimension of the lion. It doesn't matter if they pray. When you begin to roar, as you roar, after a while, the lion in them will rise. Because the way a lion activates another lion is by roaring. As you are doing it, the prophet will look inside and discover, oh, I am not a sinner, I am a Deborah. You didn't call Deborah, you just roared. So her dimension begin to call her. Do you know why you feel angry when you sin? The reason is because your spirit man is perfect in Christ. Your spirit man is waiting for your natural man to align. So when you sin, your spirit man is grieved. But when a lion comes to you and begins to roar, your spirit man begins to summon you. It begins to summon you. And all of a sudden, where you sat down, you now decided, I want to go on a 40 days fast. You are not the one talking. It's your spirit man talking to you from the regions of Zion. Because the roaring has activated the dimension. My foro went to a village and they saw a keeper of sheep. And the guy, the story that the king told him, it was in Harare, in Zimbabwe. The king told him there was a shepherd. He went crazy one day and he saw a lion roar and he ran away. The next time he went there, he saw a little cob, that's the child of a lion. He was afraid, but he saw that the cob was helpless. So he carried the cob home. And the cob lived with sheep for many years. Until the cob that was that has grown into a lion now started behaving like a sheep. One day they went to drink water by the stream. And when the lion looked at itself, he ran. You know why? He didn't have an understanding of his image. So when he saw itself in the water, it ran. Because it has lived with sheep for too long. He now sees itself like a sheep. The water for the first time, hope you know the water is the movement of the spirit. The water for the first time revealed to it that, no, you are not a sheep, you are a lion. It ran. It was afraid of itself. And at another day, as they came back to graze, the brother of this lion that has become a sheep by association, hope you know the reason most of you are fornicating. Is because you have become a fornicator by association. If you find yourself in the spirit, you will discover that you are a Deborah. You are actually supposed to call them out of darkness, but you have mingled for long. And another lion came out of the jungle, and the lion roared. The shepherd and the sheep ran. And this lion that has become a sheep also ran. But while it was running, something was moved on its inside. That language is my native child, and it stops. The lion roars. and a turn back. He began to understand. Oh, you know, some of you, when you see us, you now look at me, you say, no, come on. What does this guy have that I don't have? He's a young man like me. If he can do it, I can do it. What is this about this guy? It's the roaring of the lion. And when the lion roared at the third time, this lion that had become a sheep, it shook itself. And when it roared, the whole forest shook. And from that day, he didn't go back to join the sheep. He went to the jungle to roar. It's a dimension. When lions begin to roar, they are calling the fountains of the great deep. It's not a message at this time. It's a summon of warriors. That's why when warriors are about to be summoned, we don't talk. We play the sounds. There are sounds of war. It's called the voice of the lion. You ancient Zion king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh.
You are mighty on
your throne. Yeah, you reign,
you reign. You ancient Zion king, Kadosh.
If I'm coming for a meeting, I don't care if you are a fornicator. I don't care if you are a liar. The only thing I'm talking about, can I roar? If I begin to roar, the apostle will rise. The interceptor will rise. Because even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. To roar is a weapon. It's a weapon of song. The second thing about the weapon of roar is that it summons. He said on the last day of the feast, John 7:38, Jesus stood and he cried. He said, they that are thirsty, to come to me, for out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. It's a summon. You can't call the warriors until you can roar, because there is a sound that every warrior understands. He is designed to resonate with that sound. When you make that sound, the warriors will rise. The spirit of the ancient will rise from their inside. The third thing, the weapon of roaring doors, is that it establishes order in the heights of the heavens. Order. One of the ministries of Lucifer before he fell was to scream in Zion when Elohim appears. In Ezekiel 44:2, he said, God comes out of the east gate. So when he appears from the east gate, the Lucifer of heaven will cry, Yahweh, come up! And the whole heaven will align in the order of worship. That was why when Jesus came to the synagogue, and everything was scattered in John 2:16. He cried. He said, cast the hands. Turn not my father's house into a den of thieves. The roar establishes order. I heard the story of Benjamin's son. The guy will wear a pickup and he will be strolling. Hey, Pop, what's up? What's up? How you doing, Dad? No, please forget about that. I don't want to do that your thing. I don't want to stab your God. What? The child of Benjamin. and Benihim left him. One day Benihim came to him and begged him, please come for service. Alright, Dad, I'll think about it. He said, please. He said, okay, I'll be there. He came for service, washing clothes, serving jeans, put his scarf one side. Benihim didn't say anything. When Benihim ascended and he entered the elements of the lion, he now said, Joshua, come here. The bear was coming and crying. The bear he was pecking a few minutes ago, the lion dimension had come. And he said, Father, when this heart stopped beating, put this anointing on this wall. And he said, pack it. And Joshua went down, carrying him up again. And he kept downloading God into him. Because when we roar, we establish order. That sickness may not want to go. That poverty may not want to go. You have not roared. When you enter the elements of the lion and you begin to roar, the sickness will flee. The sickness will go. The poverty will go. Because the lion, the Bible says, is the greatest of all the beasts. They turn back for naught. Maya Kabaka. That witch, that warlock, that wizard will continue to operate until the day you can roar. It doesn't matter when you roar. Oh yeah. I know it by experience. I had a warlock in my family. Killed my mother, killed my brother. And it came from my dad. They diagnosed my dad of prostate cancer. I said, what? That was the day the lion broke loose. I didn't go to the market. I didn't go to Facebook. I woke up around 12 midnight, the hour of warfare. And when I ascended in tongues, I began to roar. I began to roar. And I saw a creature. A creature came down from heaven. It was like the sun. And when I saw that creature, I knew my partner from Zion had come. And I cursed the warlock. 2 months later, his leg decayed. And he confessed and died. He was with the family for more than 30 years. Until the day I found my trumpet and I began to roar. I brought order from the heights of Zion. You have not roared. That's why that challenge is staring you in the face. The day you roar, the powers of the great people will be offered. When we come to pray, we don't come to pray. We come to legislate and to litigate. We come to change things because we are entering Zion and we are downloading the dimensions of life. Barakiba kaba, 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 kaba. Hey, Israel, listen to me. I want you to pray with understanding. It's not to get you emotional. Israel wanted to destroy Jericho. There was no way. There was no way. Jericho was an impregnable fortress. Until a son came and a wisdom was taught him. It's the wisdom of Roar. To Roar. And he said, walk round the city 6 times and blow the trumpet once. On the 7th day, walk 7 times and blow the trumpet 7 times. The word is Shabbat. And as Israel Shabbat, the walls of Jericho came down. Everything can submit to the government of God, but sons must rise that understand the wisdom of the Roar. The Roar. The Roar. The Roar. The lion in you must come alive. Yevana Kabak 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 Zayana Parade Gabai. The first thing about to roar, the weapon of roar, is that that is what makes sons to submit. Masturbation can enslave you.
is because you have not roared.
Sin can enslave you. You have not roared. In Mark 27, 46 and 50, it said Jesus gave a loud cry. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, it is finished. And he submitted. The day you roar, masturbation will fall. Immorality will fall. Fear will fall. The kingdom technology of bringing sons to submission. Tonight, we want to roar. We want to roar. I know you have prayed in tongues for long, but there is a trumpet that you have not given expression to. You may have to forget about your neighbor, because some of you will not only pray, it's